Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to come into your house here this morning and fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, I don't know exactly what the purpose is for all this pandemic and confusion and strife and conflict that's going on in our world today, but I know none of this has caught you by surprise. You're not nearly as unprepared as I feel right now, but I just ask that you move me out of the way, Father, and just speak through me. We pray a blessing on Pastor Elvin and his family, that you'll protect them from all of this virus stuff and keep Connie and the kids healthy and help Elvin to recover as quickly as possible and get him back to full strength. And we just lift up Stan and Debbie and Jim and Leslie and all the others that I can't think of names right now, but so many in our church family that are affected either directly or indirectly by this pandemic. And we just pray that you'll fill this room right now with your Holy Spirit and open our hearts to the message that you have for each and every one of us, Father. And we just give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As you may or may not know, if you've known me for more than a few months, you know that in 2016, I rode my motorcycle through all 48 states plus Alaska on an iron butt ride called 48 states plus Alaska in 10 days or less. And that was quite a journey that started out totally as a self-centered bucket list type experience to prove to everybody that this old man still had it. And the guy that came home wasn't the same guy that left. And I learned a lot of lessons on that trip, and I had the opportunity to share with a number of different groups, and I may have even delivered this message in this church, I don't know. But I think at least last night, it felt like maybe it was appropriate for right now. The title of the message is Learning to Follow My GPS. And GPS in this message stands for God's Positioning System. I want to start by reading some scripture that I think illustrates the foundation of what God was trying to teach me on this journey. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 15, and if you'll stand with me for the reading of the scripture. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of this scripture, that it will open our eyes and open our hearts to the message you have in store for us this morning. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you use a GPS when you travel, a global positioning system? Just about everybody anymore, right? That's a device that I resisted vehemently. Right, Jan? I have the ability or the gift of being able to study a map, determine the route that I want to take, and when I leave on the trip, I've got all that in my mind. I don't have to be looking at the map all the way through the trip. I've traveled all across the country, never looking at the map again once I left, and got to where I needed to go, and very seldom get lost. I'm never lost. I may not know exactly where I am, but I'm not lost, right, babe? I used to tell Jan all the time, you know, when she'd talk about, we ought to get a GPS. This was before it was common in our cell phones, you know, and we all have them now. But I'd say, why do we need to get a GPS? You got me. I'm a human GPS, right? And one time, well, when our youngest son got married, he's the one that lives in Staten Island, New York. And they were getting married at Staten Island. And so that's the one and only time I flew to Staten Island and wasn't picked up at the airport by my son. But because they were in the midst of all the wedding activity, and we didn't have enough vehicles to go around just for their vehicles, so when we flew into New York, we rented a car, and I had to navigate my way to his house. Flying into Newark, getting out of the airport, getting across the bridge over onto Staten Island and all that stuff. And I thought, well, this would be a good time to try out GPS. I nearly broke my phone. It was more confusing than trying to figure it out just from the map. And I shut it off. We made another circle around the airport, try it again without the GPS, and we made it just fine that time. So my opinion of GPS was very negative and useless, in my opinion. Then this 48 states ride came along, and I had found the route on an Iron Butt website and tweaked it a little bit according to what I wanted to do, and then began studying it. And I was spending hours and hours and hours studying this map, which started in southeast Oklahoma and then went down to the corner of Florida and then up the mid-Atlantic states right through the Cumberland Gap and over to Washington, D.C., and then up to Boston and Maine, and then around the Great Lakes to Chicago and over to Minneapolis and North Dakota and then down, and ended up down in Needles, California, and then up to Washington State and Oregon's where I finally finished, and then turn around and head back up to Alaska. Trying to memorize all of that, you know, the highway numbers, where I would change from one highway to the next and all that, and I was convinced I could do it. To get ready on just about a month before I left on the actual trip, I made one last Iron Butt ride down to Dallas. I was on a Saturday. I left real early, going down just have lunch with my son in Dallas, and then turn around and come home. And he wanted to meet at a barbecue place in the north part of Dallas, and I don't know Dallas very well anyways. And so I thought, well, I'll use the GPS to, you know, help me get to that restaurant. And so just at my last stop north of Dallas, I turned on the GPS, put in the address to the restaurant, and was totally blown away at how much more clear the instructions were on this GPS system than on the old one that I was using before. And so that, well, maybe I can use a combination of my own ability to navigate and the GPS. That'll help, right? And so that was how I decided to use the GPS system for my 48 states ride. So I had it all mapped out, knew the route I wanted to take, so literally sitting in the hotel room the night before I was to depart, I programmed in, I think, to Jackson, Mississippi, and to see what route the GPS would tell me to take versus what I planned to take, and it was exactly the same route. So this is getting better, okay? So I left that first day with confidence that I was going to be able to co-navigate with my GPS. And so we started from Ida Belle, Oklahoma, and it was the first time I'd really used the GPS nonstop. And I was really surprised because it would kick in and tell me that I had a change in route coming in 10 miles, and then 2 miles, and then a quarter of a mile, and then it turn right now or whatever, you know. But it would basically count me down right to the change. Well, I was south of Jackson, Mississippi, on my way to Mobile, Alabama. I wasn't going all the way to Mobile, but I was going to cut around the north part of Mobile and get on over to New Century, Florida. And I was still a long ways from Mobile. And I heard my GPS saying something about I could save some time if I altered my route. Well, I just spent a year and a half planning this route, and the GPS didn't know the rules of the ride, you know, and all this stuff, and I wasn't going to let the GPS change my plan at the last minute, so I ignored it. And quite frankly, because it started talking to me when I wasn't expecting it to, I don't even know exactly what it told me right then, but less than 2 miles past this junction where I could have turned, I was at a dead stop, and it was 101 degrees, and I was sitting there with my feet on the ground, and I never did figure out, but as far as I could see in front of me and as far as I could see behind me, it was just people in a parking lot on the interstate there. And so I thought, I better pay attention next time, because that was why it was trying to reroute me, because it had detected this traffic problem. And it cost me an hour and 15 minutes on my schedule that very first day. So it became a learning experience that next time it rerouted me, I was coming up to Boston. And it said I could save, I think it was 45 minutes, because I was going to go right up I-95 right through the middle of Boston, because, you know, I've never been to Boston, and I thought, it would probably be slower, but I wanted to go right through Boston and just see it. But then when the GPS told me that there was unexpected traffic delays and I needed to take the bypass around it, I better listen this time. And so I did that, and I looped around Boston and never had to slow down much at all, but I didn't get to see Boston. The next day, I thought I knew better how to get around Cleveland than the GPS did, and next thing I knew, because I ignored the GPS, I was headed south to Toledo instead of through west through Cleveland. I don't know how that happened, but I think that was about the last time I argued with the GPS, because I ended up almost down to Cleveland and had to loop around, and that cost me 45 minutes because I didn't listen to the GPS. In Chicago, later that day, I got routed 3 or 4 times, rerouted, because of unexpected traffic delays. I have no idea what roads I took to get through Chicago. I followed the GPS, got right through, and noontime rush hour traffic, if there is such a thing. It seemed like an awful lot of traffic compared to what we're used to dealing with around here. But I had gotten broke to the idea that I need to listen to the GPS. Some of the other things I was figuring out is I couldn't talk on the phone and listen to the GPS at the same time. It's all coming through the same headphones inside my helmet. And so I had to hang up on Jan multiple times because I would hear a little beep, and I know the GPS was trying to communicate with me. I couldn't tell what it was trying to communicate, but I knew it was. I said, I got to go because I've got to do something here. I had hung up on my son. I hung up on several of my friends. I probably even hung up on Skip back there. Skip talked to me quite a bit during the trip. But it was definitely a learning curve to, you know, be able to focus on the instructions I was receiving from my GPS and lock out all the confusion or the noise from outside, whether that be my own thoughts and dedication to the plan that I had made or talking to somebody, whether it was my wife or my mom or a friend or whatever on the phone. How many of you have heard of the Holy Spirit? You know, we hear many references in Christian circles today to following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Usually, these references speak of following the leading of the Holy Spirit in the sense of the Spirit giving us direction about what decisions we should make in non-moral matters. I mean, in non-moral in the sense that the moral matters, God's already given us the rules, right? We know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do on the moral issues. So we don't need the Holy Spirit to tell us to resist temptation. These are moral issues. When it is a moral issue, we don't need specific direction because God has already provided that direction in His Word. Right now, I want to examine what the Bible says about this subject and perhaps find some surprising results. We read Romans 8, verses 12 to 15. Can you put those back up? The first thing to notice is that there are only two places in the New Testament which speak of being led by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 14 and Galatians 5, 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In Romans 8, 12 to 15, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The context is clearly not talking about making decisions in non-moral issues. Paul is talking here about righteous living. Paul is talking about following the Spirit's leading to do what God has commanded us to do in His Word. When God refers here to leading us by His Spirit, He is not referring to giving us information in addition to what He has given us in His Word. Rather, He is referring to the fact that He sent His Spirit into our hearts to incline us to do what He has commanded. And so He says, be led by the Spirit and not by your sinful desires. The meaning of Romans 8:14 is this. True sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God and obey the Word of God. Amen? The same meaning of being led by the Spirit is found in Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Everyone is either under grace or under law. Christians are under grace. Everyone else is under the law. That is, they stand under the law of God and the judgment of God for their disobedience to the law. That hangs over our head all the time if we're under the law. They haven't yet come under grace and received the forgiveness of Christ, and yet at times believers begin to act like they are under the law. But when they submit to the Spirit, doing deeds of righteousness instead of doing sinful deeds of the flesh, they show that they are under grace and not the law. Once again, being led by the Spirit here means being submitted to the Spirit's guidance and avoid the deeds of the flesh and walk in the way of righteousness. It is very close to the notion of conscience. It is as if the Holy Spirit presses us to do what we know we should do. And when we submit to that pressure, we are following the leading of the Holy Spirit. But these verses do not refer to what most Christians mean today when they talk about being led by the Spirit. It does not refer to being led by the Spirit in non-moral matters. What is being led by the Spirit being contrasted with in these two passages? Being led by your own fleshly impulses. It is referring to the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. That which is the Spirit in us is in opposition to that which is the flesh. In both contexts, Paul is saying, don't follow the sinful desires of the flesh, but follow what the Spirit wants you to do. That's kind of hard, isn't it? Follow what the Spirit is moving you to do. That is what God also says in Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. The only times in the New Testament that speaks of being led by the Spirit, that is what it's talking about. So those are the only two times that we see in the New Testament where it's talking about being led by the Spirit. So how many of you experience the same frustrations that I experienced trying to follow my GPS when you're trying to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? How do we even recognize His voice? How do we discern between our own thoughts and what the Holy Spirit's telling us? I mean, those are all the tug of wars, the battles internally that I was fighting, just trying to listen to my GPS, you know? And I think we all experience the same kind of tug-of-wars and frustrations as we try to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? One of the most important things that we can do is be familiar with God's Word. The Holy Spirit's not telling us anything different from what's in the Word of God. So if what we think we're hearing is the Holy Spirit, if it's not consistent with the Word of God, then we know it's not the Holy Spirit, right? It is also necessary for us to be in continual prayer with our Father. One of my very first pastors, when I was a young adult and had chosen the church that I was going to attend based on my desires, instead of my parents, you know, making me go to their church. Our pastor, his name was Pastor Fulton. And Pastor Fulton was in his 60s, so to me he was an old man. I know how you kids look at me now, so, because of the way I looked at Pastor Fulton. But Pastor Fulton always said, we need to pray like it all depends on God, and then we need to go to work like it all depends on us. Amen? So we need to accept the Holy Spirit's guidance and not act like Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. We don't want to be like that, right? And finally, I believe we need to learn to shut off the noise of the world and completely focus on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, I talked about it. It was hard to just hang up on my wife so I could go listen to my GPS. And she wasn't very happy about it either. And the next time we talked, you know, I explained to her what was going on, so then she was a little bit better with it. But I don't think you ever did get used to getting hung up on, right? But if I wanted to hear my directions, if I wanted to follow the leading of my GPS, I had to hang up on my wife and listen to what my GPS had to say. How many of you know someone that you really look up to, and especially in respect to what they have to say when it comes to spiritual matters? I mean, we've all got that mentor type person, right? And I'm sure that, you know, that mentor type person would never intentionally do anything to lead us astray. But sometimes we might have to hang up on them, you know, to make sure we're listening to the Holy Spirit, okay? And this was reinforced to me about almost a year to the day after I left out on the trip for the 48 states. Brendan, my grandson, and I were on a motorcycle trip down to Lewisburg, West Virginia. And that's only a good, hard one-day ride if you push through. But we were looping down through Nashville and down to Atlanta and going up through North Carolina and took the long scenic route. And we were on the third day, and we were within about 45 miles of our destination in Lewisburg, West Virginia, for this rally, the CMA, the 2017 Eastern National Rally. And so it was starting on Tuesday afternoon. So we wanted to get in there Monday and get our camp set up and just kind of get a lay of the land and that kind of stuff. And so we were about 45 miles from Lewisburg, and we come up behind a couple of other motorcycles with CMA stickers on the back. And so we knew immediately that they were headed to the same place we were. For 3 days, I've been listening to my GPS to get us on around this loop that we had made. But now I'm following a couple of other CMAers that are heading to the same place we're headed. And they're obviously experienced CMAers, so, you know, I'll just follow them. As we're coming into Lewisburg, all of a sudden my GPS is telling me I've got to turn left. Okay, I'm expecting them in front of me to turn left. Well, we're coming right up to the place it's saying turn, and they're going straight. Well, I'm sure they know where they're going, right? So we keep following them. I mean, instantly the GPS is blowing up, you know, every intersection, you know, make a U-turn or turn right, turn left, you know, and go back and all. And it was so much noise in my ear, I literally shut off my communication system so I wouldn't have to listen to that anymore. We went all the way through Lewisburg. We'd gotten to the other side of town, and the guys in front of us pulled into a parking lot, looked around, and said, "Do you guys have any idea where we're supposed to be?" I turned the GPS back on. I said, "Follow me." We would have been back to our campground at least 30 to 45 minutes sooner than we got there if I'd have followed the GPS instead of somebody that I thought knew where they were going. Again, the people that we look up to aren't going to lead us astray intentionally, but the Holy Spirit's talking to each and every one of us one-on-one. And sometimes we just need to shut it off and listen to the Holy Spirit and do what He says we need to be doing instead of what the world says we should be doing. So the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder again and just reminding me I need to listen to Him and Him alone. If you don't know how to follow the Holy Spirit, if you don't know what the voice sounds like, if all of this just doesn't make any sense to you at all, if you'd like to pray about it, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. You have your God's positioning system already working. But like me, early on, I didn't want to listen to it. It was confusing to me. You can start getting dialed in and understanding the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life for every step you make. I also want to just use this invitation time as an opportunity for us to, as a church family, pray for our church family, for our immediate families, our neighbors, our community, our country. We find ourselves in an awful mess right now. Everybody hates everybody. Probably no matter how the election finally ends up, somebody's going to be upset, and it's just a real mess. And I would like us to really spend time praying for our church, our pastor, the families in the church that are directly affected right now, and all the other issues that are going on around our community and the country as we go away from here. So, Father, I just thank you for this time this morning, and I just thank you for the reminder that revisiting this message that you gave me so many months ago, and what that's done to refresh my attention to following your leadership. And I want to lift up Pastor Elvin and Connie and the kids to you, Father, and pray a protection around them, and just help them to be healthy. And we lift up Stan and Debbie and Jim and Leslie, and Gary Collins comes to my mind as he had his knee surgery on Monday, and we just, so many people that are being affected right now, and we continue to be bombarded with lawsuits and fighting factions over the election process itself, not even to mention the outcome yet. And we know none of this caught you by surprise, Father. It's all part of your plan. And the fact that we don't understand it doesn't change anything. We just pray for the faith, the willingness to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit, and whatever call is placed on our lives, Father. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.